From the Frank Stanton Studios in Los Angeles, I'm Tess Vigeland, and this is Marketplace Money from APM. We are back this week with another show dedicated to your questions, dear listener, and I'm joined by a good friend of the show, Liz Pulliam Weston. Hello.
Hello.
We're going to talk, I think, a lot about credit scores this week, which is, I mean, you quite literally wrote the book on credit scores, credit reports.
That I did.
And, you know, I tell you, in 6 years of hosting this program, I think the vast majority of the questions that we have gotten is about credit. People cannot figure out this system, and I think for good reason.
Yeah, it's a very, very complicated system. This was a formula that was created entirely for lenders. We were never supposed to know that it existed.
Wow.
And now we're trying to explain it to the people whose lives it affects. And sometimes it doesn't seem logical. Sometimes it doesn't seem fair.
I think most of the time it doesn't seem logical. Does it ever seem logical?
Well, it's kind of like taxes. It has its own internal logic. And then every once in a while it does something completely, you know, out there.
Yeah. So how did we get to the point where all of a sudden we did start paying attention to this if it was originally only for lenders? And now, I mean, you have people trying to manipulate their scores and, you know, trying to do this and that to try to get it to, you know, 850, which is ridiculous. But at what point did this become a responsibility of our own?
Well, actually, we started hearing about it probably in the mid-90s, because that's when Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the big mortgage buyers, said, okay, we're going to let lenders use FICO scores. And so now when you're sitting down with your mortgage broker or your mortgage professional, you're starting to hear about a FICO score. Well, what's a FICO score? And back then, again, you weren't allowed to know anything about it. You know, I don't even think you were supposed to see your score. Over the years, we've learned more and more about it. At the same time, it's become more prevalent. You know, now it's used by a lot of insurers to determine premiums. Apartments are, you know, the landlords are looking at your credit scores. Employers look at credit information, not necessarily credit scores.
Right.
But it's out there and it's a big deal.
You know, I made fun just a moment ago of these people who and they write in and they're like, how do I get to 850, which is the maximum, you know, credit score for the FICO system? Where does this obsession come from? And should we care if we're at 850 or not?
No. It's the idea that you can achieve perfection. And I think that people who really do care about their scores tend toward that a little bit. We have that quirk in our personality. I need to be perfect.
They also have perfectly trained dogs
yes.
and children who say please and thank you with every sentence.
And fully funded 401ks
right,
and all that other
right.
stuff. But the reality is it doesn't do you any good to have an 850 score. So why bother?
Okay. Take that off your list of things to worry about,
yes.
please. Well, let's go ahead and hit the phones, and we have Catherine with us from Greenville, North Carolina. Hi there.
Hi there. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What do you do there?
I am in sales in the pharmaceutical industry.
All right. And let me ask you this. Are you obsessed with your credit score?
Not so much.
Oh, good.
Good.
I like to hear that. There are much bigger things to worry about as long
That's
as you're
right.
in a certain range, right, Liz?
Yes, exactly. If you're over 740, 760, you're doing fine.
Okay. Well, excellent. So what can we help you out with today, Catherine?
Well, when it was time for my daughter to decide on college and a career 9 years ago, she was very clear on her goal. She wanted to study to be a fashion designer and then live and work in New York City, which is what she is doing today. Graduating from a reputable art and design school was a must because it is so competitive, that industry.
Definitely.
But it also comes at a hefty price tag. So at the time, even though I didn't have the financial means to afford the school she chose, I agreed to take out Parent PLUS loans in addition to her student loans.
Okay.
So fast forward 9 years. Today, I now owe $130,000 plus loans.
Yay.
At an interest rate of 6.5%, and I have about 20 more years to pay on it, so I'm kind of freaking out about it. My monthly payment is around $900, and if I only pay just $900, my total debt will end up costing about $260,000.
Yikes. So are you wondering if there's any way if you can refinance that or get rid of it? Which I don't think
well,
you probably
I have,
can, but...
I have spoken to the Department of Education, and I can make additional payments, and that's to pay it off early.
Right.
But I guess my question is I do have three other credit cards totaling around $9,000. I do have retirement saved, and I have a little bit in savings.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to figure out what is the smartest way to handle this debt load.
Yeah, Liz, this is another question that comes up over and over and over again, which is, how do you decide which debts are best to pay off first, and basically where to put your money, assuming you have enough to save for retirement, to have an emergency fund, to pay off your credit cards, to pay off the student loan? You know, how do you figure out where that balance should lie?
Well, actually, the first thing you should look at is, where are your retirement savings? How much do you have saved for retirement, Catherine?
Together, my husband and I have saved about $300,000.
Okay, and how old are you?
54.
Okay, so you have maybe 10 or 12 years left that you're planning to work?
Oh, at least.
Okay.
Yes.
Retirement savings has to be a top priority. So that's just a given. Okay. And everything else has to fit in around that. Typically, credit card debt needs to be the first to go. Now, the good thing is that this family relied on federal student loans. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that you got any private loans. Is that correct?
No, my daughter has a private loan, but it's manageable.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they were able to get this interest rate around 6%.
Yeah. And actually, federal student loans are so much better than private loans. They have fixed rates. They have a lot of consumer protections and payment options. They do offer the possibility of forgiveness. Even Parental Plus loans have that possibility. I just don't think, given what I'm assuming your income is as a pharmaceutical salesperson, that you mm-hmm. really would qualify for much help in terms of forgiveness.
Probably not going to qualify right. for like a hardship exception. Or
yeah, hardship
like that.
Exception, or the fact you wouldn't, you know, if you did an income contingent, right. your payment might even go
right.
up. So that's
right.
probably not an option here. So, you know, really you need to focus on that credit card debt. Focus on saving enough for retirement, and mm-hmm. just keep plugging away at those student loans, because you can't get rid of these. We've talked about that before.
Yep.
This is not something you can erase. This is not something you can get rid of in bankruptcy court. Once you make that commitment to this debt, you're stuck with it. And I hope, Catherine, if other parents are listening right now, they pay attention, because way too often parents, you know, drain all their resources trying to pay for a dream school for their children. And the reality mm-hmm. is they simply can't afford it. And they should think about, am I willing to pay $1,000 a month for 30 years?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Does that help
yeah.
you out?
Yeah, it really does.
All right. Thanks so much for the call, Catherine.
Thank you so much.